You're listening to Last Word Soccer Club Radio. Only here, lastwordonsports.com.
What's up, Internet? My name is Matt Pollard, and you are listening to Last Word Soccer Club Radio, only here, lastwordonsports.com. It is the evening of Monday, December 11th, 2023. Happy Hanukkah to those who are celebrating. Happy holidays. Still a fortnight until December 25th, where myself and others will be celebrating Christmas. So it's a solo pod tonight. We're going to close out this 2023 MLS season as Columbus Crew, for the third time, are the champions of Major League Soccer. They beat LAFC on Saturday at Lower.com Field by a score of 2-1. Goals from Cucho Hernandez, Yayaboa, and then Dennis Bawanga in that order. And the reason why it's just a solo pod and why it will probably be a shorter podcast is that I thought this game went fairly chalk in terms of how both teams lined up, what both teams tried to do, and really in that it just came down to who was going to better execute on their game plan. And I thought one team was excellent on the whole of the 90 minutes in Columbus Crew. They are deserving champions. And LAFC, I thought, were okay, good enough. It was level for the first 15 minutes, and then we didn't really see anything. We didn't see enough from the defending champion, Black and Gold, till probably the last 20 minutes with Dennis Bawanga scoring in the 74th. So let's get into this chronologically. As I mentioned, not a lot of surprises here tactically or personnel-wise, as all the lineups for both teams were unchanged from their previous two playoff games. Columbus Crew had rolled out the exact same starting 11 for every single playoff game that they had played in, and LAFC, the only changes that you really had was from earlier in the playoffs to the conference semis, the semifinals, then now the final was Giorgio Chiellini in at center back for Aaron Long, and then maybe the one doubt you had was Oliveira on the right in the front three as opposed to Christian Gomez in. So the lineups were unchanged, and what the two teams tried to do were fairly the same. Columbus Crew wanted to have the ball. They wanted to build out of the middle of the park, and then they wanted their, we call them wingbacks, even though on MLSsoccer.com's lineup formation, they have Columbus in a 3-4-2-1. So I guess you would call it the wide midfielders in Yeboah on the left, Farsi on the right, them overlapping, and then trying to create space, death by a thousand, cuts by a thousand passes, and eventually incisive passing leading to high-quality opportunities. That's what Columbus tried to do. That's what Columbus has tried to do, and what Wilfred Nancy has had them working on being excellent at for the vast majority of the season, and certainly every single game that we've seen from them in the playoffs. And then LAFC, Steve Cherundolo rolls out a slightly mid-blocky 4-3-3, and they try to press at times, and they try to create turnovers, and they try to do stuff in transition. Carlos Vela up the middle, Tillman and Kellen Acosta in the midfield, Dennis Bawanga on the left, and the aforementioned Oliveira on the right. And so then really the only question was who was going to do a better job at what they were trying to do, given that both these systems, the systems weren't conflicting, and then they weren't trying to do something that the opponent didn't want to do. Columbus wanted to have the ball. They wanted to try to do stuff with the ball. LAFC was going to let Columbus have the ball, try to press them, try to do something when they turned it over. And so in that, it was a little bit predictable, albeit a very exciting final for me. But fundamentally, this came down to Columbus did a really good job of what they tried to do. They fed off the energy at Lower.com Field, which is absolutely electric, even in the rain, for that final. And LAFC just came out and, for me, just wasn't good enough. Columbus did a really good job of keeping the ball. Darlington Nagbe, Aiden Morris, fantastic. Didn't make any mistakes. Maybe the few concerns that you had for Columbus were the wide players maybe being a little bit careless with the ball in situations. Yeboah gets a goal and ultimately the winning goal. Farsi didn't make any of the big mistakes that led to trouble at times against FC Cincinnati and at times Atlanta United in the round of three or the round of 16 in the playoffs. For LAFC, I thought they looked slow. I thought they lacked energy at times, and they were a little bit inconsistent. It almost looked like they were not on the same page in what they were doing pressing-wise. Carlos Vela on an island at times, Dennis Bouanga on an island. In terms of how they were pressing, they would go, one of them would go and press, and the rest of the team wouldn't react in kind to where either Columbus was showing them that they weren't expecting, or there was a miscommunication in terms of the pressing triggers, or they just flat out were not all on the same page. And then when LAFC did try to get the ball back, you know, there were a few little spurts, certainly in those first 15, but on the whole, I didn't really think that they threatened Columbus Crew until they got the goal when Dennis Bouanga does Dennis Bouanga things almost single-handedly in the 74th minute to make it 2-1 and get the, what would ultimately end up being the final goal of the game. But let's come on to the goals themselves. We'll start with Cucho Hernandez on the penalty. For me, I think no question it is a handball by Palacios in the 33rd minute, and then Cucho with a very nice penalty. I thought Maxime Crippeau kind of maybe showed his cards a little bit too early, leaning towards his right, Cucho's left, and then Cucho just slots it into the opposite side corner. And then an absolutely fantastic pass from Amundsen, the center back from Columbus Crew, to then weave it perfectly to Yeboah, and Yeboah skins Ryan Hollingshead. I don't think Ryan Hollingshead was particularly good in this game, certainly wasn't good enough defensively, and then Yeboah with another great finish on Maxime Crippeau. Columbus a few more chances as well. That goal by Yeboah coming in the 37th minute, so it did take a little bit of time for Columbus to ultimately open up LAFC. And then at that point, you know, you're not even at halftime, it's 2-0. Columbus had a few other opportunities. I think 2-0 was probably a fair scoreline at halftime, but there were certainly enough chances to where Columbus could be thinking that they should have or could have gotten a third goal. But then, you know, LAFC just did not threaten in terms of making things difficult on Columbus, and Columbus just continued to have the ball and then try to do stuff with the ball, and LAFC didn't really change enough for me. You know, if you look at the XG and everything, the biggest XG chance that you would have had was Dennis Bouanga's shot on the first shot, and then the rebound ultimately he ends up putting through. But other than that, LAFC don't even produce half an XG outside of that play through the whole of the 90 minutes. Let's even take away the penalty for Columbus, which for Cucho Hernandez was, you know, 79%, so 0.79 XG. They still produce 2 XG overall, so that's what? Let me do some math here. Listeners, that would be 1.21 XG on the 90 minutes outside of the penalty, and then the Yeboah chance was 62%. So outside of those two big opportunities, they were almost even, with Columbus Crew being slightly slightly behind if you count that. But just the, you know, at that point, Columbus is playing with a two-goal lead. So their thought is, we have the ball, we're safe with the ball, LAFC will have to chase us, they will get tired, they will get disheartened, and it will be difficult for them to try and do anything. And at that point, you go in at halftime, and LAFC have to think, well, okay, we have to abandon the game plan, they have to come out of their shell, and they have to try and possess the ball, and then do something else to make Columbus uncomfortable, because ultimately they sat around and I think waited too long for Columbus to do something with the ball to make a mistake rather than try to force the mistake or change the game state by being a little bit more possession-based to then be on the front foot, given that they were down, you know, 2 goals at halftime. Other personnel that I want to highlight, I suppose, you know, I mentioned that Ryan Hollingshead wasn't good enough defensively in the moments where he needed to. The other fullback, Palacios, the one who gives up the goal. Kellen Acosta, who I'm very familiar with covering the Colorado Rapids. Kellen spent a number of years in Commerce City. I thought he was mostly invisible. I saw a stat around there floating around Twitter. Carlos Vela did not complete a pass to Dennis Bouanga either in the first half or on the whole of the game. Think it was in the first half, but we'll move forward anyways. And that just speaks to Carlos Vela certainly looked his age and looked like the player that he's been throughout this season at times, which is that he's inconsistent, he phases in and out, and he's not the player that he once was, but just that there wasn't a coherent rhythm when they were in the attack. When LAFC was able to get a turnover, when Dennis Bouanga was on the ball, Columbus Crew were able to surround him. LAFC were slow to react. They were reactionary, and they were spread out. Columbus were constantly around the ball, whether they had it or not, and that made it difficult for LAFC to do anything. And then so when you surround the one player that you're absolutely, you know, strikes the fear of God in you, in Dennis Bouanga, who did end up scoring the goal, set the record for the most goals by an MLS player in a calendar year. Fantastic season for him, certainly. That, you know, you limit what he's able to do with link-up play with others, and it was at that point on others to either finish their opportunities or get involved in the game, and that just that didn't really happen. I think it's a valid question right now if you look at LAFC. How is this team flat through 75 minutes of this game? How is this team, how did this team not come out and immediately change the energy, change the pace of the game, have the game played on their terms in the ways that they needed it to be from the 46 minute onward, given that they were down 2-0 at halftime? So credit to Columbus, fantastic team, absolutely deserving champions. They were excellent, albeit at times inconsistent in the regular season. They were the chaos team. They were the most entertaining team. They gave up a lot of goals. They also scored a lot of goals. They have two fantastic attacking pieces in Cucho Hernandez and in Diego Rossi, who were good in this game. They had good role players who've contributed at times. Almanson, great pass. Yeboah, great goal. That's the play that we are going to remember from this MLS Cup. That is the play that 10, 15 years from now, when you know, playoff highlights, when montages of MLS Cups get played, that is the highlight moment, the highlight 5-second gif that we will remember from this MLS Cup. And it didn't directly involve Cucho Hernandez or Diego Rossi or Patrick Zolti or Rudy Camacho or certainly Darlington Nagbe. And that speaks to the excellence of Columbus Crew. That speaks to what they've done from a roster build standpoint. And that speaks to what Wilfred Nancy has done now as the first black head coach to win MLS Cup. So certainly congratulations to Wilfred Nancy and what he's done this year. I just mentioned Darlington Nagbe, who I thought was good, who was excellent on the whole of this game, and that is now 4 MLS Cups across 3 teams. He's won a trophy in Portland, he went to Atlanta, won a trophy with them, and he's now won two MLS Cups with Columbus Crew. One now we can say definitely does not have an asterisk, as it did as the COVID one. Maybe some people felt that it should have an asterisk or be taken with a grain of salt. And he's now only behind, I believe, Todd Donovan and Landon Donovan with 5 MLS Cups each. So Nagbe, absolutely now we have to be considering as certainly one of the best domestic central midfielders all time. And I think increasingly now he will be included in those debates of greatest midfielders overall or greatest American midfielders in Major League Soccer history. What he's done is fantastic, and now his bona fides, you know, as a kid from Ohio, national champion at Akron, you know, best 11 now, multiple MLS Cups at Columbus Crew, just signed a long extension as well. He's going to be an anchor, and he's going to retire a Crew legend, absolutely. And so he was absolutely fantastic in this game. Crew deserving champions, a whirlwind couple of years for Columbus Crew supporters when you think about what was going on coming out of 2019 with the Save the Crew movement. New ownership group comes in, they win a trophy during COVID, new stadium, bunch of expensive players, Cucho Hernandez, $10 million, Diego Rossi, they paid almost $5 million for him, Matan, also fantastic. They could sell those three guys now for $20, $25 million combined if they really wanted to. I don't think that they will, but that's good roster building. That's good player development. That is good systematic scouting for what your coach absolutely wants and puts it together. And just what a club between what they've done the last couple of years, what they did on the field this year, them being an entertaining, chaotic team, putting it together when it mattered most. They were down 2-0 at halftime to FC Cincinnati, and they found a way to win that game. They outlasted Orlando City. They were absolutely the better team against Atlanta. And then so they go in back-to-back single-game elimination games. They eliminate the Supporter Shield winner, one of the best regular season teams in Major League Soccer history, after being down 2-0. And then they play at home, and they're playing the defending MLS Cup champion, who have the one thing that you would have said about LAFC in this game is that they had more veteran experience in terms of the playoffs. They were a more coherent roster from the previous year, this year into the playoffs, where obviously Columbus Crew started the season with Lucas Celarayan, sold him, brought in Diego Rossi, moved a few other pieces around, and LAFC had been here last year as well, And so LAFC would have been leaning on that playoff success and experience and the veteran nous and everybody being familiar with each other and not having a lot of turnover in ways that Columbus were coming in relatively new compared to their opponent. And so then Columbus Crew absolutely outplay LAFC and deservedly win. I don't know that you can more emphatically confirm that you are the champions of MLS than what you did between that game at Cincinnati against the Supporters Shield winners and then that game at home against the MLS Cup champions. So absolutely fantastic for Columbus Crew, and congratulations to them. And as someone who is a relative neutral who roots for good stories, you know, I was happy for them and I was happy with the outcome overall. We're now into the MLS offseason, folks. The MLS silly season, the trade window, opened earlier today at time of recording, so there's going to be some action on that front. I don't know when we're next going to podcast, to be honest. There's a very real possibility. Don't expect to hear from us until probably the week of New Year's, after that Monday, January the 1st, 2024. But the offseason is here, and so there'll obviously be a lot of news to come out, and the next time that we podcast, we will look at that. But I want to thank you for listening to us all season long. I know we've been a little bit more inconsistent here at Last Word SC than we have been in the past with our scheduling, but we made it through. We made it through this season, and what a season it ended up being between Leagues Cup, Inter Miami, and Lionel Messi coming to the league, and then now Columbus Crew. Fantastic for them in winning the MLS Cup. So it's been a difficult year calendar-wise for the scheduling for all of us. We're all a little bit burnt out on MLS and on other things, so we're going to go a little bit dark here, but the next time that we podcast, we will get caught up on all the big news that has happened between MLS Cup and now into the offseason, and certainly before the start of the 2023 season. So with that, I want to thank our sponsors. First of all, Athletic Greens. They have a signature AG1 formula, and it's really great for daily nutrition and then also your long-term gut health, and it can help everything in your body from your sleep to digestion, energy, mood, immunity, and the health of your skin, hair, and nails. Follow the link in the show notes to get started with AG1 today. I want to thank Icarus FC. They make fantastic custom kits for, you know, youth, adult, semi-pro, and even beer league squads. Their motto is any design you want, seriously. They create crazy stuff, and they do such a better job than the cookie cutter templates you get from the big boys as well. So head on over to IcarusFC.com if you want to create the custom kit of your dreams for your team, with Icarus FC. And then lastly, I want to thank our final sponsor, Roughneck Scarves. They are an official scarf supplier of MLS, USL, NWSL, and US soccer merchandise. Get your custom scarves for your group, team, or office at roughneckscarves.com. Follow us on all the socials at LastWordSC on all of the platforms, and wherever you're listening to us, wherever you prefer to consume, get your podcasts, search LWS Radio or Last Word on Sports. You'll find us and a bunch of other great content. But thank you very much, listeners, for listening to this solo pod episode to recap the 2023 MLS Cup. My name is Matt Pollard. We'll see you next time, probably in 2024. Happy holidays. Happy Hanukkah. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Merry Crew Miss.